Hi, I'm Brianna Contreras, Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive.
Hello, I'm Peter Werwein. I'm Senior Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive.
Welcome to MHE Talks, Improving Patient Access, a new podcast series part of our Tuning into the C-Suite podcast from Managed Healthcare Executive.
Patient access is a challenge that everyone in healthcare seems to have been talking about for decades. It's one of those big tent problems of American healthcare, a topic that takes in everything from practical problems like transportation to a doctor's appointment, or maybe in today's telehealth era, spotty Wi-Fi. There are also financial barriers to access, such as high out-of-pocket costs, and structural barriers, such as deeply rooted healthcare disparities and racism.
Our new podcast, MHE Talks, Improving Patient Access, will feature healthcare leaders and executives who are working to pull down the barriers to patient access. The goal is to have a lively, informative conversation about a foundational issue in American healthcare. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Returned MHE Talks Improving Patient Access podcast. I'm Brianna Contreras, editor of Managed Healthcare Executive, and in today's episode, I spoke with Wes Gilson, Senior Director of Business Development at Siemens Healthineers. In our conversation, we discussed why improving access to magnetic resonance imaging, or MRI tech, is so crucial to advancing health equity. Gilson addressed the barriers many face when accessing MRI services and its solutions from tackling the barriers specific to areas affected, alternative technologies, and developing new innovations in MRI tech and more. Hello, Wes. How's it going?
Very well, Brianna. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you as well. So to get started, can you first just tell our listeners about Siemens Healthineers and what your role is with the company?
Sure, I'd be delighted to. So Siemens Healthineers is a large med tech company with a big focus on, we have several different businesses, but one of the big businesses in diagnostic imaging. We also have laboratory diagnostics, and then we have a new addition to the Siemens Healthineers family, which is Varian, focused on cancer treatment. And I specifically work in the diagnostic imaging side of the business, and specifically in magnetic resonance imaging. I personally have been with Siemens through its many iterations over the past years for almost 15 years. I'm started in R&D, and now I work in the U.S. business focused on emerging markets. And kind of a focus of our conversation today is thinking about democratization and specifically democratization of MRI.
Wonderful. Thank you. So about MRI, if you could just kind of, you know, first address the issue that's currently happening when trying to access magnetic resonance imaging or MRIs in healthcare, if you can address that issue.
Sure. So, I mean, I guess maybe I'll start by first saying that MRI or magnetic resonance imaging is a powerful diagnostic imaging tool. That has, it first came about in the 1970s or so, and has really developed into a key part of the diagnostic workup for many diseases and disorders. I mean, as a key part of a lot of healthcare programs or healthcare systems out there. It's used in a wide variety of diagnoses, from cancers to, from head to toe, if you will. So cancers as well as other disorders and such. We have been in this game. So Siemens Healthineers has been in this game for quite a long time, one of the early entrants into the MRI world. What we've found is that MRI is quite useful, but there are places around the world and even around the United States where access to MRI is still extremely limited. So there are parts of the world where there are countries in the world that don't have an MRI system, and yet that it can be a key tool for helping to diagnose against certain diseases or disorders. And so by not having access to it, either those patients or those people aren't able to be given the highest level of care, or they're forced to travel long distances to get to get that level of diagnostic care. And we see this even in the United States, where there are certain patients out there or certain parts of the population that may have to travel hundreds of miles. That's a lot, still a lot less than you would have to do in some of those other countries. But nonetheless, what it does is it creates a barrier for them to get the most advanced care that we can provide with such a powerful imaging tool. And even in urban areas, there's some limitations to being able to get access to really high quality diagnostic imaging.
Thank you. And just like you mentioned, you know, patients maybe having to travel far distances or, you know, just not having MRIs available in their area as a barrier. Are there any other major barriers to accessing MRIs? And if you can maybe explain how it's stopping those from those who can't access this care.
Definitely. So, I mean, there's one, which is the physical location of a piece of imaging equipment. There's also the situation that sometimes you may have really old equipment, which is outdated and which still can provide diagnostic information, but may not necessarily provide the powerful information that you can get with newer pieces of equipment. But also even in the, you know, we found that there are even patients that are not able to get into an MRI scanner. The typical system is a tube type design. There are open designs, which also have their limitations with regards to allowing patients to get into them. And so we see, again, when you think about the concept of democratization, so access for all in some capacity, we want to think about how can we reduce, how can we make it to where all patients who are in need of it can get it? And then you can also just think about it in availability. So backlogs, for example, where they're high volumes, can, if we introduce more of the systems and medical imaging in general, but if we introduce more of the MRI systems, as we're talking about, into certain locations, can we speed up access to it? So for example, if you have some disorder or some disease and you need a quicker diagnosis, but if you have to wait 6 weeks to be able to get an MRI because of access reasons, because there are not enough systems in a particular location, then that ultimately leads to a delay in care. So we start to think about how can we speed up access to the systems to be able to get to a quicker diagnosis. And then, of course, as you go about doing that, you also have to think about the expertise to run these systems. So one key part of the puzzle for us at Siemens Healthineers is how can we make it to where you get high quality results, very reproducible, and you reduce the variability that exists between operators. Or, you know, in certain cases, there's an access to people that are trained to work on certain equipment these days. And so we've really been focused on how can we develop our technology to be easier to use and possibly even enable things like remote scanning. So you could have experts run it from a different location. And if they can run it from a different location, then let's say, for example, in some remote part, more remote part of the United States, where they may have limited access to individuals who would move to that location to run that equipment. Possibly you could get someone to manage it in some ways, but run it with a higher level expert from a further location. That's just a concept we might think about from a barrier that could keep us from bringing such equipment to certain locations. And again, the United States or other places in the world.
Great, thank you. And this also may be a repetitive question, but are there specific groups of patients that need this access more than others? And who?
So that's an excellent question, Brianna. I would say, I don't know that we could sit there and say there are more patients that need it than others. There are certain clinical indications for sure that are better suited, that MRI is better suited for helping to diagnose. I mean, I spoke not that long ago, late last year or so, with a group with the Children's Tumor Foundation, which is an interesting group. And you can think about other groups like this, but there are patients out there that may have to have MRIs more frequently for the purposes of not just the initial diagnosis, but for tracking diseases as well as for tracking the treatment of those diseases. So they may have regular visits to an imaging center, And if they live in certain remote locations, that may be a major investment of time to be able to travel to that location. So it could be days off from work, and ultimately to travel to that location, then to wait while you wait on getting that exam, and then traveling back. So that can be a burden both on the person having the exam as well as those individuals who have to take them there. We also spoke to some folks in some rural parts of the northern part of, well, basically North Dakota, and we had a conversation with one of the one group up there who operates a mobile system, which is a very valuable part of healthcare today. So a mobile MRI, and they were telling us about how, you know, there are farmers in certain rural parts of the country who, if you didn't bring the advanced imaging to them or brought it, didn't bring it close by, they wouldn't get that imaging, right? So particularly older populations, older farmers in some sense that may need that imaging, they wouldn't be able to take a full day off of work or possibly even 2 days off of work to go have that done. So they just forego it. We see by focusing on, again, kind of bringing access to more people, a way to elevate the healthcare and elevate those diagnostic capabilities that are needed to treat these patients.
Thank you. And thank you for clarifying my question, which you answered pretty much just exactly what I was trying to ask. More so, you know, who's not getting that access, if you can address those people, which you did. So that was great. Thank you. So for the next question I had, why is improving access to MRI so important to advancing health equity?
I think we, you know, we here in the United States, we oftentimes, particularly those of us that live in more urban areas, we oftentimes don't think about, we don't think about the lack of access to healthcare and what the impact of the lack of access to healthcare can have on an overall community. But I mean, the first and foremost piece is, right, we're all human beings, and as human beings, we all deserve some rights, or, you know, some civil rights to health equity, right? So if we have the ability to elevate that, and as human, you know, as humans and as people on earth that share a joint interest in the livelihood of each other, I think it's apparent, you know, it's important for us to kind of focus on how can we do that and how can we bring that to more people. But I think, you know, it's not until you start to walk around or you start to go into some of these communities that you see the disparities that there are in access to healthcare. That can be in the rural space, but it can also be in urban areas as well. And we here in the United States, we have better access than they do in some other countries around the world. So it can even get more drastic and worse in other areas. But nonetheless, we have to recognize, I think, that there is an inequity that exists here in the U.S. And we particularly at Siemens Healthineers, we feel like it's everybody's, it's our responsibility to help address that. And a big ambition for the company at the highest level is innovating, developing new innovations that target advancing healthcare for everyone everywhere.
I'm glad you mentioned innovation, because that's one of the next questions I have coming up here shortly, but it could tie into this question too. So what are steps health facilities, payers, or other groups, what steps can they take to help improve patient access to this specific care?
First of all, oftentimes it's about trying to identify where the problems are in your specific locations, right? And those may vary. To put some catch-all approach to it, it would be difficult. So I see it as a healthcare organization, or even as a community, trying to understand where the disparities are, and then trying to tackle those in the best possible ways with the resources that you have, right? Not every place and not every group has the same resources that others have. But if you try to identify what resources you have, and you try to identify where those disparities are and those inequities and inequalities in the healthcare that you can provide, then I think that's a good start. And then, of course, you know, there's a responsibility of the citizens themselves. I mean, we as individuals, we should have an interest in both our own healthcare as well as those around us, our neighbors, right? Because that's we as humans, our community. And then, you know, again, from companies like Siemens Healthineers and others out there, we have a social responsibility. And I think that's where we are quite excited about kind of developing new innovations that help drive that. And we have regular conversations with different groups in all of these different types of segments to understand where a company like ours can focus some of our R&D resources and develop innovations that help address whatever those disparities are in the various different segments of the population.
Great, thank you. Now it was mentioned that, you know, collaboration between other health centers and those in general in healthcare can improve access. So I guess, can you explain how collaboration between those parties could help this issue?
Collaboration between different healthcare organizations in helping to drive this forward?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, ultimately, it's what drives healthcare organizations is providing for the people in their individual communities. But I think they can learn a lot from each other. I mean, and that's one of the exciting parts about our healthcare system is that they can learn from each other and see what works and see what doesn't work. You see kind of in the bigger picture that a lot of big healthcare systems are even pushing out into the communities because they understand some of the expertise that they have, they understand some of the resources that they have, and they understand the importance that they have to the broader community. And bringing that value into the spaces away from their small little hubs. And I think that's an exciting part because ultimately that's about the overall wellness of the people. And if we can start to address that and you can bring it closer to the people, then I think you're going to find that there's an elevation of adoption of some of the healthcare practices, if you will, but an elevation of the overall health and we'll say the people in a particular geographical location, if you're focused on those healthcare systems, but then even more broadly, right? And so I come from an academic background in the academic world. It's all about building on the knowledge of others and rarely, if ever, and probably never in any sense, are there new developments, new innovations, new research, new discoveries that aren't built on previous discoveries. And that's the same way it can work in the healthcare world as you learn from the experience of others, what works, what doesn't work, what might be better tailored towards, you know, whatever characteristics of your practice are.
Great, thank you. And kind of speaking of other, you know, again, innovations or other options that are out there, can you share if there are other options or forms of technology that can be used to substitute the use of MRI tech? Or are there becoming more? Or
sure. I mean, I guess I'll speak about a couple of different things. I mean, a diagnostic imaging, there are a lot of different technologies out there in diagnostic imaging. MRI has its own unique characteristics, particularly in the soft tissue visualization. It's a non-ionizing radiation based imaging approach. So it has some advantages, particularly from a longitudinal imaging perspective, unlike some of the other, the other modalities that exist out there that depend upon radiation. However, they're powerful tools. None of the medical imaging technologies or modalities could exist on their own. They all have complementary roles in diagnosis and discovery of diseases, et cetera. So, you know, there's things like computed tomography and ultrasound and X-ray and positron emission tomography or PET imaging, SPECT imaging as well. And even some optical imaging, et cetera, that exist out there. All of these are diagnostic tools that are powerful in their own right and have a play for certain diagnostic processes. But if I speak a little bit more about MRI itself, there's a lot of development that's happened since its inception, and then and it's kind of gone a lot of different directions. I mean, where we see 5 years ago, we were And we continue to do this. We push the envelope on the power of the system. So at Siemens Healthineers, we introduced, I'm going to miss the actual year when we got clinical FDA approval, but I'll say somewhere around 2018 or so, FDA approval of what's a 7-Tesla system. This is the most powerful clinical system that exists out there today. What it allows us to do is it allows us to see things that we've never been able to see before. The level of detail is just amazing. That being said, it's a system that from a number of different characteristics, from the size of it to the power of it to the easy utilization of it, is not one that fits in that classic democratization story. Instead, what if we think about broadening access? So that one's what that can provide a lot of information and detailed information, and I think pushes the envelope. But where we see is more recently as a migration towards more smaller systems, maybe some point of care type of strategies, or maybe whole body imaging systems. We at Siemens Healthineers introduced, got FDA clearance just last year for a new system called the Magnetome Free Max. It's a system that sites in smaller locations. It's got a more open bore to it, so a larger opening that allows us to get larger patients. So that's a really valuable piece for us, because we thought, hey, there are some of the most critically ill patients are sometimes the largest patients, and obesity is, for better or worse, it's a growing epidemic an epidemic here in the United States, where we see larger and larger patients, and the average size of the patients is going, or average size of Americans is going up. So accessing or being able to put those patients into an MRI scanner is an important piece of the puzzle for us. And we think that developing technology to address the limitations of those patients is an important piece, but also being able to get systems to locations and being able to site them in locations that may have been restricted in the past is an important piece. But you'll also see some exciting developments out there in focused or kind of dedicated systems for very specific applications. I think that there's a nice drive there from the MRI innovation perspective. And it's an exciting time to be working in this space, to be a leading vendor in the development of MRI innovations, because there's still a lot of opportunity there and a lot of direction. And again, there's still a lot of people out there that don't have adequate access to it. So.
Well, thank you for that. That was great. And it's great to hear, you know, what is coming and what else is out there. But that's actually all I had for you, Wes. So if there's anything else that you'd like to add that I didn't ask on this topic, please feel free to share.
Brianna, I think that was primarily what I wanted to share. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today, to kind of share a little bit about what Siemens Healthineers is doing, where we see MRI going, where we see, how we see it, our actions in really innovating some breakthrough technologies with a focus on bringing it to everyone everywhere, as I mentioned to you before, because this, I think, is a driving force for our company. And I think it's really a driving force for healthcare going into the future. So thanks again. This was
absolutely
great.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening, and keep an eye out for the next episode of the MHE Talks Improving Patient Access podcast series. Episodes to this podcast can be found on our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.